of playboys in the entire universe, Kevin Kugler.
I'm on the Avenue of Bah and the intersection of Bah.
The Kugmeister, Kevin Kugler.
Now that was a
that's a show.
Right here on 1620 The Zone.
He's been to Camp Randall, Happy Valley, PBA, Assembly Hall, Cover Hockey, Prison Center, Champaign, Urbana, Sochi, Russia, Hinesville, TCF, Tolson, the Big House, Horseshoes, the College World Series, Final Four, Ryanfield, Memorial Stadium, Lambeau Field, Jerry World, Took the Fix at all of them. Cougars everywhere, man. Cougars been everywhere.
Let's bring him in. Certainly lots to talk about. Kev, you want to start with Nebraska, or do you want to start with kind of Michigan, Ohio State, some of the clear-cut top teams? What do you want to do?
Well, you know, as I stand here staring at Levi's Stadium, I figured we'd get into Rams Niners later in the segment. Is that when we would do that?
How's the song go?
That's the big one tonight. I know that you're captivated by.
Got to save the best for last.
One of the youngest head coaching matchups in the history of the National Football League, as two stellar quarterbacks Jared Goff and Brian Hoyer go head to head in the game.
We'll get to that. Stop burying the lead.
You tell me where you want to go. I'll go wherever.
Let's
go where Nick wants to go today.
Okay, I guess. So let's get into Marcus Foster and Kyrie Thomas and that. No. Let's get to
Hoop season is just a few days away.
Yes, me likey hoops if you're not familiar with who I am and what I like.
I've read about you on message boards. I know exactly who you are.
That's always a great indication right there. Message boards. Great depiction of who people really are. All right, Kevin.
All right, Kevin.
I kind of said that with a little bit of attitude. I apologize. You have been in this state doing media and radio with some crazy losses and some code red situations. As the clock struck to zero and it was 21-17, Northern Illinois taking on Nebraska, how much is this a code red situation? How does it compare to maybe some other code reds that you've been a part of?
Well, you know, I always compare it to when we used to come on the air. You know, this was back in the day when there was not, you know, live and local all day, every day.
Nice.
It was us. And we would come on big losses early because we knew people were chomping at the bit to talk. And so that was, to me, that when the show was, you know, we were 2-6 and unfortunately my conduct still is, we would come on at 1 or at noon. That one felt kind of like an 11 a.m. start to me. I mean, like you would have just come on right before the lunch hour and stayed on till 6 and had no problem with people just losing their mind. I mean, I don't want to shovel dirt on it yet because they still have the entire conference season. And look, stranger things have happened, and I know people have been using the Penn State analogy a lot to make themselves feel better, although I don't think the pieces are in place at Nebraska like they were at Penn State for that kind of turnaround, nor do I think Nebraska is willing to undergo a significant change in offensive scheme like Penn State did and relying much more on Trace McSorley to generate things with both his arm and his legs that Penn State did when they made their turn for the better last year. So I don't think that's necessarily a good comparison, but I also understand you're not going to shovel dirt on this program today. They can come out. They should beat Rutgers. If they don't, all bets are off. Season is over. Yep. You can kiss this one goodbye. But if they should beat Rutgers, Illinois becomes a pivotal game for them. I don't see more than 5 wins on this schedule. And you know this. We talked in the preseason. I didn't see this as more than a 6 or 7 win team at the beginning of the year because I had a lot of questions. And I think you can argue that they should be better than that. But I don't know that you saw that with the concerns, especially that we had with the offensive line. And again, you talked about it in the preseason. Mike Riley's big stress in the fall was quick passes because you wanted the short passing game, quick passes, because he knew his line couldn't protect his quarterback. We're not getting that. And so his line can't protect his quarterback, and everything he was concerned about that he said he wasn't going to do, the doing, and it's turning out that he was right about his concerns. There are major, major issues with Nebraska football, and when you look at where they are right now, somebody's going to lose their job over this. I don't know who that somebody is going to be. Somebody's going to resign. Somebody's going to step aside. Somebody's going to be reassigned. You don't have this kind of start, and especially if it goes down this road and continues down this road, you don't have this kind of season without heads rolling at an athletic director position or below. And I'm not suggesting that anybody has done anything or should do anything. But I just, look, you know the college landscape. You don't get 6 years or 7 years or 8 years to build a program. At big-time programs or ones that think they're big-time, you get 3 years. Texas gave 3 years. I mean, 3 years is kind of the time where you start to see, is it going the right direction or the wrong direction? Well, it's going the wrong direction through three games.
So you hit on a couple of things there. Like Northern Illinois' front seven and defensive line, I think it's fairly safe to say that Wisconsin's is going to be better and Ohio State's is going to be better and Penn State's is going to be better. I mean, is that the most – is the offensive line – the most alarming thing for Nebraska for you moving forward, or what makes you want to go buy a six pack of beer and start chugging it, thinking about things moving forward?
You know what was kind of alarming to me is that the talent level didn't come across as that significantly different between a down Northern Illinois team and where Nebraska is circa 2017. That, to me, is the most alarming thing. Yeah. That if I look at those two teams, I don't sit there and go, man, that Nebraska team's so much more talented. I didn't say that. I don't say it now. I still don't say it. You would have to really tell me that the Nebraska team that was put on the field on Saturday was abundantly more talented than that Northern Illinois team. And to me, overall, that's the biggest concern, because that never should have happened.
No.
I understand Nebraska is not Alabama and Clemson and teams like that anymore. This is not where Nebraska football is circa 2017. But they should never have let themselves fall to the position of Northern Illinois, low-level Northern Illinois. This is not the Northern Illinois BCS team. This is lower-level Northern Illinois talent. And this is 3 years now into a regime that is supposedly recruiting worlds better, according to a lot of the folks who cover recruiting, than the Pelini regime. I've not seen that yet shown as far as overwhelming talent edge on the field.
For you, Kevin Kugler's my guest, what needs to happen for Riley to be the head coach next year? Is it getting to a number of wins? Is it getting to seven wins, eight wins? Is it like, how do you view that conversation moving forward?
I don't think you can put a number on it. I really don't. I don't think that's a fair thing to say right now and go, all right, if you don't get eight, it's all over. You don't get seven. It's all, I mean, because how do you get the seven? Where are the seven over? To me, you have to just decide as an administrator, whoever that administrator is, whether it's Sean Eichhorst or whether it's somebody else who's come in, you have to decide where is this program going to be next year. Next year's schedule is tougher. Next year's schedule is not going to do this team any favors. And barring a miraculous turnaround, Tanner Lee is going to be back for another year as quarterback, despite many ex-NFL GMs who are ex-NFL GMs for a reason, saying that this is going to be a first-round one-and-done quarterback. It doesn't appear to be the case right now. I would be very, very surprised if there was going to be a whole lot of change. But I will say this. I don't know necessarily that Mike Riley isn't the coach next year, even with a horribly 5-7, 6-6 type season. If they're 3-9, everybody's gone.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
that's cataclysmic. You cannot have that. You're losing your recruits anyway.
Yep.
Because if you're 3-9, everybody's going to be recruiting against you, saying this coach isn't going to be there next year. Why would you go there? So you may as well make the change at that point anyway, because it's not going to make any difference as far as your recruiting goes. Nobody is going to not. Buki's not going to jump into the fray because he thinks Mike Riley's going to be here 4 years after a 3-9 season. So you may as well just make the change in that case. But if it's 5-7 or 6-6, I could see an AD either resignation or firing and changes on the staff with another year of Mike Riley, as strange as that is.
Be interesting to see what happens. Kevin Kugler is my guest. So you've seen Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Michigan, correct?
Yes.
How good are those three teams? I mean, because Michigan and Ohio State have their offensive woes at times. The game that you had with Wisconsin was a little bit ho-hum, although they ended up kind of putting the screws to FAU in the second half. How good are those three teams?
Well, and I will add this caveat. I have only watched Ohio State in the spring and on tape for the fall because I have them this weekend.
So okay, yeah, tripping. My fault.
This version in person, but obviously I've watched them over the course of their couple of games. Here's how I would stack those teams. I think Ohio State has, of the three, the most potential to be a super team by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because I think they have every piece in place that they need to be that team at almost every position. I think there's a little bit of underachieving in spots on the team, but I think overall they have the most pieces of the puzzle. I think Michigan's defense by the end of this season could be one of the best defenses in college football. They are unbelievably athletic. They, you know, and you used to hear it all the time in the heyday of the SEC, but they've got SEC speed. I mean, they fly all over the field. They are, and they're well coached. Don Brown is one of the best defensive coordinators in college football. He is a terrific motivator. He's got a bunch of young guys, and they just run. The hindrance for Michigan is that offense right now. It's not got any sort of rhythm. Their offensive line is struggling a little bit. That's going to be the thing that holds them back and probably cost them a game or two over the course of the season. Wisconsin is what Nebraska was. And what Nebraska, in my opinion, would have been had people stayed the course with Frank Stolich and allowed him to retool his staff. You are a 8-4 to 10-2 team every year. You know, you plot the schedule down and you say, we're starting at a base of 8-4. You tell me where we're going to improve and I can make an argument that it's 2 or 3 wins here or there. That's what Wisconsin is right now. It's what they are this year. I think they can be a little bit better than that high 10-2 mark this year because A, their schedule is conducive to such, and B, they've got the offensive line, they've got the running back, and they've got a defense that plays good on that side of the ball. I don't think they're a great team, but I do think that Wisconsin team is a team to reckon with in that division with that schedule. It's not going to surprise me to see them at the end of the year with one loss at worst and a chance to play in the championship game for a chance to go to a playoff. And I don't know that they're one of the top 4 teams in the country. In fact, I don't think they are. But because of the schedule and the way it plays out, they could end up being in the position to be one of the top 4 teams in the country.
Kevin, for you, in your opinion, which of these two teams have a better chance of winning a game at home this weekend where they're a double-digit underdog, Purdue hosting Michigan or Iowa hosting Penn State?
I would say Purdue hosting Michigan. And I know I just gave praise to Michigan's defense, but that's at the end of the year where I think they're going to be one of the best in the country. They're young, and I think Purdue's going to move the ball on them some because they'll make some mistakes in coverage. I like what Iowa is going to be able to do, and they'll try to shorten that game. But and I've not seen them in person yet. I've only seen them from the spring, so I can only comment on that. I've watched them a time or two. I think Penn State is abundantly talented. I think they're extremely well coached. And, you know, and the thing that just it should really give everybody around here pause for pause is that, and I recognize the recruiting bases are different, but that program was essentially on probation, knocking on the door of the death penalty.
Right.
And James Franklin took it over after Bill O'Brien kept it afloat for a couple of years. There was no depth in that program. They had no depth on the line. He started 1 year prior to Mike Riley. And look where they are now. I mean, it's just, it's staggering to me to see the difference in those programs. We remember that day when Nebraska went out to Penn State right after all these Sandusky allegations came out, and it was that emotional day, and Ron Brown led the prayer, and it was one of those moments where you really felt good to be a Nebraska person. Whether you were a Nebraska fan or not, those kids represented the state, those coaches, that staff represented the state of Nebraska very well in an extremely tough environment, a game Bo Pelini didn't even want to play. And to go from where that program was then to where it is now, and to see the difference in Nebraska in that same time span, it's startling. It's it's a staggering difference. And Penn State's trending upward still, and I don't think you could say the same for Nebraska right now.
So you got Niners-Rams tonight, and then you got UNLV-Ohio State, and then is it Washington-Oakland on Sunday?
Washington-Oakland on Sunday night,
pretty good one there.
It's a trifecta of football this weekend.
You're the man.
And I'll get to see both oceans. Very excited.
I love your attitude, Kevin. I really do. I absolutely love it.
What else am I going to do? I have no other discernible skills. I mean, I was going to, and by the way, happy birthday to Mail Lady, Lisa, who always listens to the Nick Baugh show. She's a big, big Nick Baugh fan.
We're big
fans. So happy birthday to her. But I can't do those jobs. I got no jobs to do. The only thing I can do is wander into a football stadium and hope somebody gives me a microphone to say things like,
Well, good luck with that, Kevin. All right. Good luck with all that. All right.
Who knows? Maybe someday, kid, you'll do something else.
That's exactly right. Kevin Kugler. Kevin, great stuff, man. I know you're super busy. Appreciate it.
See ya.
You got it. Kevin Kugler. Some really good stuff there. Really, really good stuff. Man, I'm telling you, we had way too many great deals to contain it to only 1 week, so we're doing it again. We got 1620 Zone presents OmahaBids.com. OmahaBids.com is Omaha's discount online auction where you can bid to get up to 70% off on everything, such as pendant and earring sets. You got 10-person scotch tasting. You got a car from our car stop that's over 50% off, a pre-owned Suzuki motorcycle, $5,000 in windows, a hot tub, a fishing trip, golf, fitness memberships, restaurants, others, just ton. Bottom line, you got to go to 1620zone.com, click on Omaha Bids to see what's up for auction and get registered. Start bidding now at Omaha's discount online auction, omahabids.com. Good stuff with Kevin Kugler. Let's take a break. We'll wrap up the hour. We come back.